Welcome to D10B College. Today we're building a DJ-style rolling beat and bassline in Ableton Live, and the goal is simple: make something that feels relentless, controlled, and easy to mix into a proper drum and bass set. We are not chasing a giant one-shot drop here. We're building pressure, a loop that keeps the floor moving, drums that stay clear, bass that answers the drums without crowding them, the kind of idea that can sit in a track for 16, 32, even 64 bars and still feel alive. This style matters because in rollers, the groove is the hook. If the beat and bass are locked properly, people keep nodding long after the first drop. And technically, this kind of bass line teaches you one of the most important D10B skills there is: how to keep the load and stable while still making it feel dangerous. Start by setting your project around 170 to 174 BPM. Build a 4-bar loop first, not a huge arrangement. That keeps you focused on the actual groove instead of getting lost in structure too early. Lay down the drum spine first. Kick and snare need to be obvious. Snare on 2 and 4, every time. That's your anchor. Then add hats, or a break layer, to fill the gaps and create motion between the snares. If you're using a break, keep it simple at first. Slice it cleanly, warp it properly, and make sure the snare still feels dominant. The reason this works in D10B is that the bass line only feels rolling when the drums already have forward motion. The drums and bass are in a conversation. If the drums are vague, the bass will feel vague too. What to listen for here? The snare should land cleanly every 2 beats, and the hat movement should create energy without fighting the snare. If the top end is too busy, the groove starts feeling nervous instead of rolling. Next, make the kick and snare feel like the spine of the loop. If needed, use EQ8 on the drum bus. Clean out any useless rumble below about 25 to 30 Hz. Preserve the kick weight if the sample already has it. Let the snare live in its body range around 180 to 250 Hz, and only tame the sharp edge if it gets harsh. If the kick tail is too long, shorten it. If the snare is too soft, layer a brighter top onto a thicker body. But keep the snare centered and confident. In darker rollers, a strong drum backbone makes the bass feel heavier, not weaker. A good workflow move here is to commit early. If the drum groove feels right, freeze and flatten it, or consolidate it. That stops you from endlessly tweaking transients while the bass work is waiting. Nice and practical. Keep moving. Now for the bass. Think of it in 2 rolls, a sub-roll and a mid-range roll. The sub is the weight. The mid-range is the movement, grit, or res texture. A simple operator or wave-eatable patch is perfect for this. Start with a sine or triangle for the sub. If you want more attitude, layer in some saws or detuned movement for the mids. Keep the attack short. Keep the release controlled. You want notes that stop cleanly instead of smearing into each other. Don't start by writing an impressive melody. In this style, rhythm does most of the work. Begin with a simple 1 or 2 note pattern. Root notes are fine. Small interval movement is fine. The real job is to place the bass in the spaces the drums leave open. A good beginner pattern often lands after the kick, around the offbeats, or as short answers leading into the next bar. You want the bass to lean forward around the snare, not sit squarely on top of every beat. What to listen for now? The bass should feel like it's talking back to the drums. If every note lands too neatly on the grid, the loop gets stiff. If the notes feel random, the groove disappears. You're looking for that sweet spot where the bass feels inevitable. Build the rhythm first, then worry about pitch. That's a huge lesson in rolling D10B. Place notes where the drum groove leaves space. Use some shorter notes, some slightly longer notes, and keep the pattern recognizable enough that the loop feels like a phrase rather than a random sequence. A strong 4-bar idea might establish the groove in bars 1 and 2, a small variation in bar 3, and create a pickup or lead-in in bar 4. That tiny bit of planning goes a long way. It keeps the loop interesting without turning it into a full melodic statement. Now shape the bass with stock Ableton devices. A very solid chain as operator or wave-eatable into saturator, then EQ8, then compressor if needed. Use saturator gently at first. Around 2 to 6 dB of drive is often enough to add useful grit. Then use EQ8 to remove unnecessary low rumble below 25 to 30 Hz, and trim harshness in the upper mids if it starts biting too hard. If the bass notes feel uneven in volume, a light compressor can help steady them out. If you want a dirtier flavor, you can use wave-eatable into saturator into auto-filter into EQ8. Just remember this: the sub should stay mono and stable. Any width, movement, or detune should live higher up in the bass texture. That is one of the biggest low-end rules in D10B, and this is crucial. If the bass sounds huge in stereo but weak in mono, the low end is too wide. Keep the deepest octave centered. Let the attitude happen above it. At this point, choose the flavor. If you want a cleaner roller, keep the sub simple, keep the mid-range restrained, and use less drive. That gives you a deep, DJ-friendly bass line that mixes easily. If you want heavier DJ-style pressure, add a bit more saw or reese movement in the mids. Push the saturator a little harder, and use subtle filtering for attitude. That version will feel darker and more aggressive, but it needs tighter note lengths and more discipline in the low mids. Either way, don't let the bass step on the drums. That's the whole game. Now check the groove against the drums before you add anything else. Listen to the full loop and ask yourself one simple question. Does the bass make the drums feel more dangerous, or does it get in the way? If the kick disappears, the bass is probably too long or too loud. If the snare loses its punch, the bass may be sitting in the same low mid space and masking it. Shorten the notes, trim the tails, or reduce the mid layer before you touch the sub. Here's another good test. Listen at lower volume. If the bass line still feels clear and the snare still cuts, the groove is probably strong enough. That's a very useful habit in drum and bass. Loud can fool you. Low volume tells the truth. Now add movement, but keep it subtle. In rollers, movement should feel like seasoning, not the main dish. A small auto filter, automation over 4 or 8 bars can work beautifully. A slight increase in saturator drive on a variation bar can help. You can also automate clip gain or note velocity to make the phrase breathe a little. Keep the filter changes modest. You want micro change, not constant reinvention. That's what keeps the loop hypnotic. The track should feel alive, not like it's trying to impress you every second. Now write an alternate 4-bar version. Don't rewrite the whole thing. Just shift one note, shorten one note, add a small pickup, or remove one note to make space. That's enough. In DJ-friendly drum and bass, small changes often hit harder than big flashy fills. A really effective arrangement move is to make the loop breathe at phrase boundaries. For example, after 16 bars, you might drop the bass for half a bar, then bring it back with a tiny pickup. That small gap can make the next section land way harder than an overdone fill. If your sound design starts fighting you, commit the bass to auto. Seriously, print it. That gives you freedom to edit note lengths more clearly, reverse little bits if you want, and stop overprocessing while trying to fix the arrangement. In this style, endless micro-editing can kill the vibe fast. A useful mindset here is to treat the bass like a pressure system, not a lead part. It should shape the room, not explain itself. If you start writing lots of notes just because the clip feels empty, pause and ask whether those notes are actually creating forward pull. Empty space is part of the groove in rollers. Don't be afraid of it. If you want to push things darker, here are the smartest trade-offs. Let the sub stay boring on purpose. Put the dirt in the upper layer. Use note length as a groove tool. Keep the reese movement above the danger zone. And use tiny filter changes instead of big sweeping ones. That usually sounds heavier than one overcooked patch trying to do everything. A few common mistakes to watch out for. Don't make the bass line too busy. That kills the roll. Don't let the sub get stereo or smeared. That weakens mono playback. Don't distort the whole bass too much. You'll lose punch and sub clarity. Don't let notes overlap into the snare. The snare needs room to cut. Don't ignore the kick-bass relationship. If the low end gets lumpy, shorten or move the bass notes. And don't add movement too early. Get the rhythm right first. One more great check. Mute the bass and listen to the drums. If the drums already feel like they move, your bass can stay simpler. Then mute the drums and listen to the bass. If the bass sounds cool solo but loses its shape without drums, it needs better rhythm, not more processing. That's a huge point in this style. Control beats complexity every time. So here's the target. A 4-bar DJ-style roller with a clean kick and snare backbone, hats or break movement in the gaps, a bass line that alternates between sub-weight and mid-range grit, and enough variation to survive a full phrase without getting boring. It should feel dark, locked in, and mix ready. Strong in mono, clear in the snare, relentless in the groove. If you've got that, you're doing the right thing. Now take the exercise. Build one clean version and one darker version. Use no more than 4 unique bass notes. Keep the sub centered. Keep the mid layer controlled. Print a darker audio bounce. Then compare the two and ask yourself which one works better as a mix tool and which one has the stronger drop energy. That's the real lesson here. Not just how to make a bass line, but how to make one that rolls, breathes, and hits like a proper DNB tool. Go make it happen.